Lord, we pray that you have your way in Globe. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Are you guys thankful for our worship crew? I don't know about you, but that's good stuff. Good morning, by the way. My name's Kale, and I am choosing to forego my normal whimsical and long-winded intro, and we're just going to dive right in. We're going to get into business today. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. If you have, Michael, can you throw me that little, yes, give it up for Michael. Craziness. If you didn't get one of these, we apologize. We've had some shipping issues. We have some on their way, but we did run out this morning. But if you have one of these, go ahead and grab it because you'll need it this morning. If you don't have one, just slap your neighbor, steal it from them, switch sheets, and you should be fine. If you're uncomfortable with that, then just pull out your phone. Get maybe a notepad up on your phone, a note app or something like that, something to write with, because we are going to need something to take notes with today. Not just because I'm such a great preacher, but because we're going to get activated today. Everyone say activated. Okay, it's part of our sermon series, The Activated Gospel. And, you know, I figured, with a sermon series title like The Activated Gospel, wouldn't it be a shame if all we did was come in and sit and hear me talk and then leave and not get activated? So we're going to get active today. Everyone say amen. Amen. Okay, you're going to get there. It's going to be a long 25 minutes here, so settle in. We're going to get activated today, and I'm excited for what God has for us. And here's how we're going to do it. I know normally scripture comes up on the screen and we all kind of read it out together, but I thought it would be fun to have some space here for you to sit. Again, if you have your scripture journal, it'll be on page 8. You can read it there. It will be on the screen for those who don't have one of these, but I'm going to give you space. I'm going to step over here. I'm going to give you space to sit and read the passage to yourself. And as you do, I want you to take a moment and either highlight or underline, circle, maybe a word that jumps out to you. Maybe it's a phrase or a string of words. Maybe as you're thinking, like how my mind works is usually a picture comes to mind. Maybe you want to draw that or write it down in the margins. Again, if you have your phone, you can just pull up a note on your phone and put it there. But I want us to actually enter into the text today. Not that it's bad that if I just read it to you, but it's just way more fun if you do it. So go ahead and get settled, get ready. Again, it'll be up on the screen. And I'm just going to give you about 2 minutes here to sit in silence. It's going to be silent. It's going to be awkward. You'll be fine. Okay? But we're going to sit and we're just going to read. And I want you to read slowly. And again, I want you to be thinking and even just asking God before you read, God, would you highlight something for me today? And I believe that he's going to do that. So are you guys ready? Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Activation. We're going for it. Okay. Go ahead and take, scripture will come up on the screen. And let's just take 2 minutes here to just sit by yourself with the word of God, read it, and ask the Spirit to highlight one or two things to you. about another minute. Is good. You need a little bit more time. Be honest with me. Give me a thumb. Okay. I'll give you 10 bonus seconds. You get 10 bonus seconds. All right. All right. We good? You guys highlighted some stuff. Raise your hand if one or two things jumped out to you. Okay. You need more time? Okay, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to take it a step further. Again, this is, we're getting this activated in us. This is not a come and sit and listen to Kale Sunday. This is a come and meet with God, get the word of God moving and active in our lives and in our hearts. And so, I want to give you another 60 seconds or so to turn to someone next to you. And just share briefly just one thing. Just pick one. Maybe there was a few, but just pick one thing that stood out to you. Again, it could be a word. It could be a picture. Don't be too long-winded, but take a moment here. Turn to a neighbor and just tell them something that stood out to you. If nothing stood out to you, tell them something that confused you, and we'll just go from there. Okay? Ready, go. Good, good, good. I heard some voices going, so something's in the pot stirring. It's good, that's good. Hey, I wanted to do that for two reasons. One, it's just fun to do different things. But deeper than that, I wanted us to just take a moment here to feel something. And what I wanted you to feel is your ability to hear God. I know that you have an ability to hear me. You're sitting there. I mean, we haven't locked the doors, but you're stuck in here for the next 30 minutes or so. You have the ability to hear me, you know, microphone, all that stuff. I just wanted you to feel it for a moment, that you have what it takes to hear God. Could you kind of hear the chatter going on? Wasn't that beautiful to you? It's like, it's music to God's ears. I think he finds it pleasing when a group of people get together and like, I felt like this, or I don't even know, but God kind of spoke this, or it's just beautiful chatter of the church. And the truth is, I believe in the role of the pastor in the local church and the authority that God has given that role. I, I count it an honor and a privilege to be up here. I feel the weightiness of it and the responsibility every time. But the truth is, you guys could just do that for the next 30 minutes. I mean, could you feel it? Like, some of you are like, oh yeah, I heard God very clearly. Others of you are like, oh, I don't know, but we're the body of Christ. And so if I go, oh, I don't know about this, there might be someone else who goes, oh yeah, that reminds me of this. We build and stir each other up. And again, I'm privileged and honored to be here. I've been asked to preach, and so I will preach. But I was this close, y'all. It's my last Sunday preaching, so I'm like, all bets are off. I was this close to just being like, could we just be a people who come and are so consumed with the Word of God and believe deeply in us that we can actually read it and hear it, that's all we do? What a beautiful thing. You have the ability to hear God. I went to college for a year and 3 weeks. I'm nothing special, okay? Again, there's authority and God purpose. There's a role that the pastor plays. Don't misunderstand me. I just want you to not get it twisted and to think that somehow this stage and the gap, you know, it's not a small gap, but sometimes it feels so wide. You have what it takes to hear God this morning. You have everything you need. Some of you have maybe never heard him before, and so that's hard for you to understand. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing me yapping at you, and you're like, I don't even trust that guy. But if I could just, with all that's in me, challenge you this morning to just believe it, that it's true, and that God has something for you today. And the other reality is what I'm going to do for the next 27 and 37 minutes is basically just tell you what God told me when I did what you just did. I sat with God this week. I mean, I just sat with him and said, God, speak. What are you speaking? What stands out to me? What? Give me something, Lord, for your people. You just did it. I feel kind of like in those like baking shows where it's like, you put the cake in the oven and then you're like, all right, well, this is just my like chocolate cake this morning of meeting with God, fresh out of the oven. But do you see what I'm saying? I'll take more time if I need to. But do you get it? Like, you have what it takes. You can hear God. And that's a journey sometimes, but that's why we have each other. We're the body of Christ. We hear him together. We succeed together, we failed together, but we're all in it as we look to him. So I'm going to take my cake out of the oven, and we're going to crack it open this morning, and I'm just going to share with you some of the things that God stirred in my heart as I looked at these few verses. This is such a beautiful prayer, amen? Don't you love when, you know, certain people who pray a certain way, and you're like, I want to pray like that. Give me some of that. I love big words. I love using unnecessary words. Paul slips a few in there. It's like, immeasurable, amazing, great, you know, like, I love getting stirred up by those things. It's a beautiful prayer. Only nine short verses, but it's deep, it's rich, and it really packs a powerful punch. And so when I did this on my own this week, there was really just one verse that stood out to me. How many of you had just one thing? Just one thing. Maybe it's just where my mind has been like at capacité this past week. And so I remember taking a moment at home, and I was sitting like this over the Bible's on the ground. And I was sitting like this, and I was like, Lord, you got to give me something. Just one. Nine verses, surely there's just one. Give me one. And he did in his faithfulness and goodness. And for me, it was verse 17. Verse 17, and I love the way that the NIV puts it. It's going to differ slightly from what you have in your journals if you have one, but it'll come up on the screen as well. This is Ephesians 1:17. This is the verse that gripped my heart this week. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. I must have read that line over 100 times this week. So that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. And what stirred in me, in my heart, was not just what Paul prayed, it was who he was praying it for. So a little context here, remember that Ephesians is a letter written by Paul. Sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, is this a story? So, no, this is a letter. This is, remember letters? Anyways, it's like an email. This is Paul's email. This is his Twitter X thing to the Ephesians, okay? It's written not to unbelievers, but to believers. It's important for us to understand. It's written to the church in Ephesus. These are Christians. These are Christians. And from what we can tell in Scripture, they're pretty good Christians. I mean, not perfect by any means, but they're pretty good. I mean, they were hardworking in their service to the Lord. They were persevering under pressure. They were rooted in strong theology and bold conviction, even standing up against and opposing some of the false teachings of their day. Again, they weren't perfect. There's no perfect church that exists, but these weren't apathetic believers. They were all in. In some ways, even, they were kind of maybe the believers or Christians that we would kind of want to be or to aspire to become. Like, I want a faith like that. You guys know people like that who have that faith? Or you're like, man, I want that in my life. That was what's going on in Ephesus, in the church there. And so it's a little surprising then, right, that when Paul prays for this thriving, faithful church, he doesn't say, God, make them more effective. They're doing so much good. God, would you just multiply it times 1,000, make it bigger, better, all this stuff. He doesn't pray that. He doesn't pray, God, help them grow and reach even more people. That's a good prayer. I mean, yes, like God, the church is healthy and thriving. Let it grow. Let it expand. But he doesn't go there in prayer for the Ephesians. He prays something far more simple, but I believe something so much deeper. Listen, he prays that a people who already know him would simply know him better. Isn't that interesting to you? He prays that a people who already know him, Christians, believers, followers of Jesus, they already know him. Paul spent almost 2 years with the Ephesians. He was with them. He knows them. He prays that a people who already knew him would simply know him better. Isn't that interesting? And I know that it might seem like an insignificant detail, maybe just a small little nuance to gloss over in Paul's prayer, but I think it actually gives us some really beautiful insight. Because listen, again, out of everything Paul could have prayed for, I mean, the list goes on. He could have prayed for wisdom for leadership. That's a good prayer. God, would you give wisdom for the leaders? Would they know what to do? That's a beautiful prayer. He could have prayed that. He could have prayed strength for persecution. Persecution that would undoubtedly come. He could have prayed strength to endure that. He could have prayed courage for the culture around them. That's a prayer that we need today. God, give your believers culture, give your believers a courage to stand up against the ideologies and the things of this culture. Again, a beautiful prayer, but he doesn't choose any of that. He chooses to pray simply for greater intimacy. And I think it's because I don't think Paul was worried that the Ephesians would stop believing in God. Maybe so, but I don't believe that that was like on the top list of what really motivated him in this prayer. I don't think he was worried or concerned that they're just gonna turn their backs on God and leave forever. But listen, I do think that he knew how easy it is for people who love God to slowly stop beholding him. That in all of their doing, their ministry, their busyness, their spiritual activity, again, all good things, that in all of that, that they lost sight of the one that they were doing it for. And so from a Roman prison cell, Paul pens this beautiful prayer. Not that they would do more, but that they would see more. Not that they would do more, but that they would see more. That the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he says, would open the eyes of our hearts. I love that imagery. It's like your heart has these eyes, and he's praying that the spirit of God of wisdom and revelation would open the eyes of their hearts to be able to see more clearly and more fully. This isn't like more head knowledge. Do you understand? He's not asking for like a better, you know, more Bible stories and more. It's not head knowledge. It's deeper here. That somewhere down in the center of the Ephesians' soul, that God was at, or that Paul was asking that God would awaken and enlighten them from within. Whenever I think of the soul, I always make this face. I'm like, the soul, you know, like not your heart, not your head, soul, like down in your gut, down in your bones. You know what I'm talking about? Like that's the soul. That's what Paul is after. That's what he's praying, that the eyes of your soul would be enlightened. I don't wear glasses, but I'm sure that it's like that when you know, you're squinting, you can't see, and it's like, oh, I don't know. Then all of a sudden you put on the glasses and you're like, I can see. It's clear. That's what Paul is praying for. That's his desire and prayer for the Ephesians. And here's what's sobering. This is what kind of tripped me up all week long. This isn't the last time that we hear about this church. Fast forward a little bit to Revelation chapter 2, and we see them again. The movement that Paul helped start is still alive. The church he poured his heart into is still gathering, still teaching, still enduring. And outwardly, probably things seemed pretty great. I mean, again, there's no perfect church, no perfect community, but I think if you were to walk into an Ephesian church on Sunday or visit them, you'd probably go, this place is pretty good. Nothing really was majorly off. Their worship was incredible. As kids say these days, it was fire. Right? I don't even know why I try. The worship was good. The theology was sharp. It was spot on. Again, it was so sharp that they could see these other false teachers and being like, that's bogus. We're not. Their theology was sharp. The community was thriving. The preacher never went over on time. I mean, they were locked in. You get it? Like, this church was good. It was a church that probably any pastor would want to be a part of and to lead. Any believer would want to belong to. But then Jesus speaks. And he says these words in Revelation 2:2-4. He says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know you cannot bear with those who are evil, and that you've tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. You've endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is affirming them. He's saying, hey, I see all things. Don't think that your good works have gone unnoticed. I've seen them, and I affirm you. I'm delighted in them. They are good. They are right. He takes time to affirm them. But then his tone shifts. He says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. I see all the things, all good things. But this one thing I have against you. The same church that Paul once celebrated for its faith and love, the same people that he prayed would know him better. Remember our beautiful prayer that it's those same people had slowly and quietly forgotten the very thing that they once knew best. Him. I know it's kind of heavy for us to sit in this morning, but I think all of this raises a really important question for us. How? How is that possible? How did this amazing, faithful church, these people who once burned so brightly and passionately for Jesus, how did they drift from the passion of their first love? And maybe the more important question for us today is, have we too? Because listen, I don't think this story is just about them. It's about us. That's why this passage matters for us today. It's not just some random prayer that, you know, snuck into Scripture. It's not just some random beautiful thing that Paul prayed thousands of years ago that has little significance for us today. No, it isn't just for the Ephesians. It's for you. It's for you and I. It's for us. We live in a time where it's easy to know about God, to even do things in the name of God, yet quietly allow our affections for him to fade. But listen, I believe right now, actually, in this cultural moment we're in as a people, that God is inviting us to be really honest again. He's seen the works. He commends us for them. He's proud. He's pleased. But I think he's inviting us to say, I want you to sit with me and let me show you some things where I think you might be off. And that's really hard, y'all. That's not easy. That's not comfortable. Me and Allie have, my wife Allie, have been in this season where we've just been praying and asking God, like, what's next? Like, what do you have for us? Where would we go? And I remember about a year ago telling her, like, babe, I'm ready. I'm ready, man. If God speaks it, I'm there. I'll go anywhere, Lord. Anywhere on the face of the earth. Just not Tucson, but I'll go anywhere. Just anywhere, Lord. Send me. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Bookmark American Airlines. I'll buy the tickets today. I'm in. I'm ready to go. Great faith in my heart to say, God, I believe you're stirring something and somewhere. And you tell me, the moment you tell me, God, I'm gone. Sell the house. I don't care. I'm gone. It's beautiful faith, right? Here's where it gets twisted, though. I remember telling Allie, babe, I don't understand. I have this faith in my heart. Just like, again, just, oh, you know, like I have this faith in my heart to where if God, but I have this problem sitting alone with him for 10 minutes. That scares me. Isn't that interesting? Faith to go anywhere. Send me, Lord. But then when God's like, I want you to sit in that chair for 10 minutes. Let me do some heart work. I'm like, can we just go to Australia? Like, okay, you know, okay, I'll go to Tucson. Like, whatever you say, Lord, you know, like, I'll do it. This is hard work. It's not easy. I honestly don't think we talk about it enough in the church. Following God is hard. He never, I don't know why we think that it would be easy. He certainly never said that it would be. It's just hard. And when it's hard, that doesn't always mean that you're off. Sometimes it can be. We deal with sin, we deal with these things, and we let God speak to us. But it doesn't always mean that you have it wrong. Sometimes it actually means you have it very right. And I say all this to say that God's wanting to invite us. He's wanting to sit with us, with his church in this hour, not to shame us, but to heal us. God doesn't have shame in mind for you. He does have healing in mind for you. He doesn't want to do it to expose us. You know, I picture like sitting in heaven and, you know, God goes to like the godly Netflix and it's like, all right, Kale, you know, like, let's watch Kale's life, and it's like, oh, these are all the blunders, you know, let's expose Kale and all the mistakes he's made. That's not what God's after. He doesn't want to expose you. He wants to restore you. Now, make no mistake, he's probably going to expose some things, but what he puts his finger on, he will heal. If you feel the, like, God's got his, like, thumb in my heart, it's because he's healing you. He has good things in mind for you. This is so important for us to understand. And so with the rest of our time this morning, again, in the spirit of activation, I'm going to create some space for us to meet with God, to do exactly what Paul prayed for the Ephesians to do, to slow down, to open our hearts, and to let God show us what he sees. Not just what's on the surface, but what's really there. And you and I kind of know. You know, it's like when you pass them in the hall, like, hey, how's your day going? They're like, oh, it's good. And you're like, I'm talking about that kind of stuff. There's an invitation in this hour, I believe, from the heart of God. I'll say it this way. Just to stop playing games. And it's a question that I only ask you because God's been asking it a ton of me. Kale, are you just going to kind of keep doing your own thing? Or are you going to sit with me and let me pull up some of these issues in your heart so that I can address them again and so that I can heal them? Healing's on the other side. But it does require us going through. And I love it because this is what the spirit of wisdom and revelation loves to do. That's what Paul prayed for. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, it loves to awaken our hearts again, to realign our vision, and to set our feet firm in love. How many of you need that today? You just go, man, if God's realigning some vision, man, I'm in because I can't see a dang thing. I need some realigned vision. Or maybe to stand, you go, man, my knees are getting shaky. I'm tired. I've been standing in this for a long time, hoping that God would break through, and I'm just tired. God wants to strengthen you today. By his spirit of wisdom and revelation, he wants to do this. And so over the next few minutes, I'm going to walk us through just these three simple questions. Questions that can help us take inventory of our hearts today. Questions that give the Holy Spirit room to speak, to reveal where our love has drifted, and to call us back gently to closeness with him. And I just want to say this again, that this is heart work. It's hard work and it's heart work. But there is a freedom and a joy and a healing for you. I promise you. There's a lot, make no mistake, I don't understand about God. Again, college, year, 3 weeks. Maybe if I did a full 4, I would understand. There's a lot I don't understand. But I know this. He's too good. It's the only options are he either comes through or he fails. And I know him too well to tell you this morning that he does not fail. He does not fail. He won't fail you. I've walked through seasons of my heart where it feels like he's failing, but feeling like God's failing and him actually failing are two radically different things. He doesn't do it. Again, this is my last Sunday, so I'm just giving it all. I'm going for broke this morning. He does not fail you. You've been lied to. You've been lied to. I've been lied to. I've been wrestling with this all week and going, God, how is that even possible? Because I tried to stand on your word. I was a good Christian. I'm a pastor. Like, what? I've given my life for you. How can my heart be so easily swayed? And the Lord just keeps reminding, Gail, it's okay. You know that's what the enemy does. He's an idiot. I'm like, amen. That's what the enemy does. As much as God is scheming for your breakthrough, the enemy is scheming for you to get stuck. And it's just time, y'all. It's time for the church. It's time for us to go, you know, God, I may not understand, but If there's an invitation to come and sit with you in it, I'm going to come. I don't understand it. I don't know. But I'm not just going to be on the fringes anymore. I'm going to step into all that you have for me. And so these are just three questions for us. Again, I would encourage you to write them in your journal or write them in a note in your phone. And take them to God this week. Just like we started, remember God is here, he's speaking. So don't just rely on his voice now in this moment. Go home, your couch, in your living room, and continue to let God speak to you and unpack these. But we're going to go through these quickly here together today. The first one is this. Have I allowed doing things for God to replace being with him? Have I allowed doing things for God to replace being with him? Just like I said, this one hits pretty close to me because it's so easy to fill our lives with good things, ministry, work, family, even spiritual habits. It's possible to fill our lives with these things and to still lose touch with God. That was the Ephesians. They were faithful. They were consistent. They were hardworking. Remember, these are pretty good Christians. Not perfect, but good. And yet Paul knew something. He knew that that busyness for God is not the same as being with him. Busyness for God is not the same as being with him. And again, if I'm honest, I've been there. Probably more times than I'd like to admit. There's been seasons where I've been doing all the right things. Praying, leading, even standing up on this stage. Giving announcements the best that I know how. Like I'm doing the things, but my soul has felt dry. I was moving for God, but wasn't moving with God. And I don't know what you think about people on this stage, but I'm telling you right now, this gap right here is not as far as you think it would be. My mind and heart is filled with unknowing. So many questions before God. I wrestle just like you do. I struggle just like you do. I have hard days. I had many of them this week. That's part of following Jesus. It doesn't surprise me. It hurts, but it doesn't surprise me. And I just share that to say that maybe that's where some of you are at today. Trying to be as honest and vulnerable as I can because I want you to feel like we're in this together. This isn't just you. It's not a you problem. It's not the enemy is against you. And so maybe you feel that way this morning. You still love him. You're still showing up. You're here today. Maybe you were like, I'm not going today, but I'll just go and I'll maybe figure it out. You're here today. You've been trying. You're still saying the right things, but you can feel it. There's a quiet discontent and a distance in your heart. That sense that somewhere in all you're doing, you've stopped being. And listen, friend, God doesn't want you to do things for him. He wants you for him. He wants you. He wants your heart. He doesn't need your activity. He desires your affection. He loves you, and he's inviting you to return to him today. The second question is this. Have I allowed my wonder of God to fade into familiarity? Have I allowed my wonder of God to fade into familiarity? The famous theologian A.W. Tozer once said, God wants to be more than understood. He wants to be adored. God wants more than just to be understood. He wants to be adored. When Paul prayed that the Ephesians would know him better, this is what he was talking about. But about an awe, a wonder coming back into the hearts of these people, a deeper revelation of who God really is, because we all know that over time, even some of the most beautiful things can start to feel ordinary. And this is what happened to the Ephesians. They didn't stop loving Jesus. They were loving him and serving him and doing things for him. But Their hearts stopped being moved by him. You get the difference? The activity was there, but the awe had been lost. And I think we all know what this kind of quiet tragedy feels like in our hearts. You know, when holy things start feeling a little less holy. When maybe worship that once wrecked you and you were on the floor, maybe you used to be the first one to come up and just like, Lord, I'm for you. And now the songs just kind of go in one ear and out of the other. Or scripture that used to stir your heart. Now you're kind of like, I've heard that one before. I've studied that passage. Amen. But you've lost the awe, the gripping awe of God in your heart. And I want you to know this morning, that the wonder is still there. It's just waiting to be seen again. It's still there. It's inside of you. It's just waiting to be seen again. And listen, sometimes when we can talk about this, we can feel like it's like emotionalism. Like we're trying to like conjure up some sort of feeling to like get excited about God. Listen, this is not about manipulating emotions. It's about awakening love. I'm not here to manipulate you. I don't even know some of you. I'm not here to manipulate you. This is not emotionalism. This is a people of God saying, God, I recognize that there are places in my heart where I have drifted and lost my awe, and I'm asking you by your grace to put it back in my soul. Because I can't do that. It has to be the spirit of wisdom and revelation coming to me out of love and compassion and filling my heart again. Listen, God's heart hasn't changed. He's still the same. He's glorious. He's near. He's beautiful. He's full of grace. And maybe today, out of everything that's been shared, you can just hear him whispering to you saying, remember who I am. Let me amaze you again. I don't care how young or old you are. Let God amaze you again. Childlike wonder. Just this like, I can't believe it. That's my prayer. That's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and that's my prayer for you today. And lastly, I just want to close with this last question. Have I allowed other voices to become louder than his? Have I allowed other voices to become louder than his? If there's ever been a generation that understands this, it's ours. We're constantly surrounded by voices, the news, social media, opinions, expectations, all these things shouting and grasping for our attention. And somewhere in the noise, even unintentionally, the voice of God just gets quieter and quieter. And it's not because he's silent. The enemy would love to get you to that conclusion. It's not true. It's not because he's silent. It's because we've stopped being still. Maybe you feel that in your heart today, this spiritual static just swirling around, and you know God's there, and you're like, Kale, I know his voice is there, but I can't hear him. Just to be really practical here, and again, I'm going for broke today, but I think someone needs to say it. You're not missing anything by getting off social media. I'm just telling y'all, like, I deleted my accounts a few years ago, and I still ran social media for the church, and so it's kind of like, this is weird. Like, I might miss out on a funny meme or two, but my heart has more peace. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you the truth. Some of you have had that swirling around in your heart and you kind of put it to this, I'll just take a day, I'll take a week. I'm telling you right now, now is the time. Stop playing games. Delete that sucker. Get it out. It's not beneficial for you. It clouds your mind. There's too much at stake. There's freedom and healing for you. And again, I'm only being strongly because I've had to receive the same question from the Lord. It's not because you don't love him, but there's more of him. Do you understand that? There's more of him for you. This past week, me and Allie have been going through this again and just trying to reorient ourselves back to God. We've grown so lazy in things. I'm telling you right now, you might be impressed with me up on this stage, but if you walked with me 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't be as impressed. I'm in the middle of this going, God, I want to be stirred again, but I've had too long and unhealthy habits that I feel like I can't break, and I need your grace. And there was one day we were meeting with a friend, and he was talking about how, man, if you've got a TV in your room, we have a TV in our bedroom. We put a TV in our room just to watch movies and, you know, whatever. And we were feeling stirred that, man, we got to get that out of here. So I went home, threw that sucker in the closet and was like, no, we're done. I'm done. I don't need to veg out on TV anymore. Go to a friend and he can tell me what happened in the new episode. There's too much at stake, you guys. God, your heavenly Father, it's just time. It's time. I was born and raised in the church. I sat in a pew my whole life, and I feel God stirring, and he's calling me back. He's saying, lean in, Kale. Let go of some of these things. I promise you it's better. I promise I had the healing and those things for you. You're right there. You're right there. Let go and trust me again. Why don't you stand with me? Listen, my prayer for you this morning is that, again, that you would feel the heart of the Father. I wish I had time to literally go and look at each one of you in your eye and just tell you that God loves you. He is so for you. He's for your freedom. He's for your deliverance and your healing. And again, it's just time. It's time to stop playing some of these games and just to say, God, I'm getting rid of some of this stuff, and I want the eyes of my heart to be awakened. I don't want to be following you in the dark anymore. And so the front is open. Even right now, please start coming forward. And again, I'm not manipulating you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you this is your moment to do it. Some of you might just need to stay where you're at and stand it. And for my wife this week, she's been going through all these different health issues and these things. And sometimes all she can do is just lay on the floor. Not pray, just lay there. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you just need to stand. That's all you can muster up. Maybe you need to sing. Maybe normally you're like, I don't have a good voice. I'll let other people sing. I'm not a worship type. Maybe you need to lift up your voice today and sing and declare truth of who God is. I don't know what your response would look like, but I believe that we all have an invitation to one today. To respond to God, to lean into who he is, and to allow this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians to be more than just something that passed in the wind a long time ago, but that it would sink deep in our hearts today. And again, my prayer is that by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it would be something that God does in you. You don't have to try harder or jump through hoops, but you do need to come and make yourself available.